Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are live on the Odyssey app all around the world. We're live on YouTube at the WCCO radio channel. And I think we're still on AM radio based on sarcastic big voice guy.
How about that, huh?
I like it. It makes you pay attention. I am nervous about what our new show opens are going to sound like. With that guy, you know, is sarcastic the right way?
Yeah, that doesn't fit this show at all.
Can you play a little?
I don't
know. I don't even know if we can do this. It gets in like our system. And
yeah, let's see if I don't know if this has changed over yet. But let me try this. Wow.
I like it. I like it. And it makes me think like soon enough, we will have a big voice guy. Do like a big introduction of our next guest. If she wants this, I guess you should be able to give your opinion on this.
Well, she clearly deserves it. So it's just a matter of.
Yeah, I've been here enough.
You've been here enough. Get a little closer to the microphone.
Usually I'm like running away from the microphone, but now I'm also running away from your little camera.
Yeah.
It's awfully close.
It looks fine.
I feel like all anyone can see is my forehead.
Most of your forehead is being blocked by the enormous microphone right in front of you.
I like slowly throughout.
I have to keep waving at you during the interview.
Sorry.
I think it's all good. It is time for Ask Adri, our weekly, by weekly I mean monthly, advice segment. So glad to have you here.
Thank you.
We start with. Well, first we should start with an invitation. If you have a relationship question, a love question, a family question, get advice. This is free. We're not charging anybody anything. But you can send us a text right now at 651-461-9226, and Adrienne Lee will answer your question. Ask Adrienne. Well, maybe. Depends what your question is. And you can comment in the chat room at YouTube as well. So let's start with this. Next month, the next crop of college kids will leave their high school lives behind and move on to university. Many will stay close to home, and many of them may be tempted to try to stay in whatever relationship they had while they were in high school. I think a lot of us face this scenario where you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend your senior year. When you go off to college, what do you do? And so my question for you is, should you break up?
You know, I am biased for a number of reasons. My high school boyfriend was a terrible human being.
Well, aren't most high school boys terrible human beings?
And let's so pay. I always ask people to do like the exercise of like at this point in their life, imagining if they were still with their high school partner and like how that would feel.
So what advice would you give your high school self? Get out.
Get out immediately. Get an OFP probably. But I'm not really pro. I think young love is really, it's lovely. It's really sweet. I think it's instructive. It helps develop you as a partner and as a person. But I also think it's supposed to end. I understand that there are people who are high school sweethearts, and that's really cute, but it's also noteworthy because it's unique.
It's got to be rare, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the other part of this question is how involved should a parent get in sort of sharing that life wisdom or sharing, you know, you look at your own kids and think like this issue may come up.
Yeah, I mean.
I may be asking for me.
Yeah, I say this all the time about a lot of different things, but if somebody's not asking you, they probably don't want your advice.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, bossing people around. So I'm like, I got to start this column because people aren't asking me as much as I would like them to be asking me. But yeah, I mean, if your kid isn't asking you or it's not a topic that's getting brought up, you might, you know, unless you are concerned, like really concerned for their well-being, you might want to just let them learn that one on their own.
Yeah. There's no real harm.
No.
They'll be sad if you break up. They'll be sad if they don't break up.
Yeah. I mean, it potentially changes their experience, right? They might be more into the relationship than they are, like exploring new things in college. I'm not saying it doesn't have consequences, but I think there are consequences they can probably live with.
The data point I found is that about 44% of high school students are in relationships, but only 2% of high school sweethearts end up marrying each other. How about that?
That's a lot. I want to know what the divorce percentage of those 2% looks like.
It's pretty interesting, 2%. I mean, Alyssa and I met in college. I would think college relationships that last, I don't know. It's so hard to measure like how long these relationships last, right? Because we have data on marriage. We have data on divorce. But knowing like when each started tracking people gets a little tricky.
Yep.
But we've been, I think we're very much a rarity.
Yeah. I mean, it depends when you met in college too. Like the beginning.
I was a junior. She was a sophomore.
Okay.
She's the second person I dated in college. I dated a lot in high school. Some real wackos that I dated in high school. And I'm telling you, if any of those, you talk to any of those women today, they would say they dated some real wackos too, being me. Like, we're all sort of goofy in high school, right?
Yeah. That's like one of the good reasons that relationships should end. Like, you are not who you are going to be in high school.
All right. I like that. 6514. If you are a high school sweetheart, I'd love to hear like how you made that work. Or if you stayed, if you want to agree or disagree, 651-461-9226. Next topic is one that I'm very interested in. And you saw a question about this on Reddit.
Yes.
And this is the topic of opposite sex friendships. So you're in a relationship. Like, I'm married. You're in a relationship. Should you have a friend of an opposite sex? I would say yes, of course. We should have friends in the opposite sex. And also, is there a line?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the question... The reason it caught my eye is because it's one I hear a lot, and it also feels like an incredibly heterosexual question. I just think, like, in queer relationships, this is less of a thing. But, like, obviously there's a lot of...
Like, most of us are heterosexual, so that's why.
Yeah,
right.
So, of course, it's a thing that comes up. I think it's worth, like, interrogating that, though, that it is so prevalent.
I think that's fair to point that out, for sure.
In that context. But, I mean, yes, of course you should be able to have friends. I think if the only thing stopping you from cheating is guarding yourself from people of the opposite sex, like that is the bigger issue.
The question is laid out like this. I, 25-year-old female, have a coworker, 26-year-old male, who texts me pretty much every day. Our conversations are usually about career goals, personal concerns, or sometimes just sharing memes. I've known this coworker for around 2 years. He knows I have a boyfriend. Well, he doesn't have a girlfriend. I'm starting to wonder if this level of communication is normal for colleagues or if I'm crossing a boundary into emotional cheating. So when you and I were talking about this before, years ago, I did a very dramatic television news sweeps story about emotional cheating. You may be cheating on your spouse and you don't even know it. You know, something. I'm sure it was something horrifying. What your husband may be doing... You know, it was one of the tonight at 10.
You got to use that voice more. I'm a fan. It's very dramatic.
Big news. scare the crap out of your voice. They were good times. And I had not even known about the concept of emotional cheating because to me, cheating was physical.
Yeah, a man would think that.
Yes. What is emotional cheating to you? And can texting too much be emotional cheating?
I think that cheating The broad category of cheating is something that gets negotiated in every relationship.
This is too much work.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was just the sex. When you're having the sex, that's the cheating.
I know you hate this. I think that...
And tongue. If you're kissing with tongue, that's cheating.
But you can kiss endlessly with no tongue and that's not cheating?
I think so. I think that's fine.
Okay. Well, you figure that out. You run that by your wife.
I'm being told that that is not correct. I'm being told that's not correct.
There was no tongue, he says to his divorce attorney. So that's weird, the visual.
Yeah,
Anyways, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can you cheat emotionally? Like, yes. Like, if there's a level of intimacy and just a level of energy that you're giving to this other relationship and, like, the attraction is starting to feel a little bit more than platonic, like... Sure, but again, I think it's very particular to each partnership.
So I think when it comes to, like, is it too much to be texting every day? The question isn't what are you doing with this opposite sex friend? It's what are you not doing with the person you're in a relationship with? So I think a lot of us have had workplace friends that you tell all your stories to. This just happened. I don't know. Do we still have this in remote work? Maybe not as much. I don't know. But back in the day, like, for sure, I had female colleagues. Most of my colleagues at work were women.
Yep.
And so I spent a lot of time with women and telling stories about my life, about other stuff. You're talking all the time. And I found when I got home, I was not being as communicative with my wife as I would have been if I wasn't being so communicative at work. So to me, I felt like, oh, I am substituting a little bit of, like, the relationship stuff that I would be doing with my wife with my workplace best friend.
Can I be honest, though, especially where men are concerned, not to, like, just drag you guys today, but I feel like women fulfill a lot of men's social needs already. This is, again, in heterosexual partnerships. And so that was probably, like, nice for your wife, for you to be getting some of those needs met outside of her. Because I imagine she was still meeting a lot of your social, emotional, intimacy needs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that she was probably missing you talking as much as you would otherwise be talking. You talk a lot.
This feels like a highly personal piece of advice. Highly personal piece of advice.
I'm sorry. You asked. You brought your own example.
I did bring my own example, but I do what was happening is I wasn't talking very much at home.
Okay. And she was concerned.
Yes.
Okay.
It was fair.
Well, then, like, balance.
She's right.
Being intentional when you're home.
Yeah. Our relationship is such that, like, you have those conversations, which is good. But my point is that you can be cheating on your spouse or your partner without physically cheating. You can be cheating. It's a different kind of cheating. Maybe it's the wrong word, but it can be a betrayal if it goes too long or too far, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't think
fair.
So? You think you can?
I think what you're more likely doing is neglecting your relationship.
Right, because some of this is zero sum. As much as we want to think you have an infinite capacity for love and conversation and time and thought, you don't. I don't think you do.
You definitely don't have an infinite capacity for, like, time
sometimes
and energy and things like that, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Would you be mad if your guy, like, had a girl best friend that he was texting repeatedly every day?
I don't know if I would know unless it became a problem.
Well, now you know.
Now I know. Well, I don't know. I'll have to go ask him. I don't know.
See what I'm saying?
I don't think I would care.
You would care.
All right.
I think you would care. Lots of texts about high school sweethearts. We'll share some of that when we come back. Plus, I got another couple questions. We'll see what we get to. Your questions, welcome. Relationship advice. If you want to drag men, go ahead. 651-461-9226. All right, texters. Brian from Andover says he met his wife at age 14. They've now been together for 45 years.
I love that for them.
So cute. Wouldn't have done it any other way. Another texture for the 507. My husband and I were high school sweethearts. We've been married 51 years.
That's sweet.
I think it's good.
It's sweet. I just think it's rare.
It is rare. Well, there's no question about it. Then a different texture says that these high school students in a relationship are just swapping spit. Their brains aren't even finished developing. Well, I got married at 22. And I think any regular listener of this show is aware that my brain hasn't finished developing. Having a boyfriend or girlfriend in high school is like having a temporary holiday, a temporary hobby. I don't know. Why not? Why not? I like this question online from Lethal. I know an awful lot of introverts and shy people. What do you recommend for those people if you want to try to find a partner? This is similar to a question that you were asked on your Substack, which is askadrianything.substack.com, and you should sign up and subscribe to that, where it was a question about sort of the introverted but ready to mingle is what you titled it. What do you recommend for that? It is difficult for introverts, I think.
No, it for sure is. Believe it or not, I'm introverted. I'm like an extroverted introvert, I guess. Like, yep. I'm doing this and I'm going to be exhausted for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
This is like very far outside my comfort zone. And I say that to say, like, when I started, you know, the column and I wanted to get it out there, I wanted people to subscribe, I wanted to potentially, you know, pitch it to publications, I realized really quickly I was going to have to, like, be okay with people seeing my work, be okay being vulnerable and doing things like this. And, like, those principles apply to dating, unfortunately. Like, if you just love staying in your house and watching TV, like, that's fine. And you're also never going to meet anyone.
Yeah.
So, like, you're just going to have to find creative ways to get out of your comfort zone. I think some of the suggestions I made were, like, you know, join a club, whether it's activity-based or whatever. Obviously, there's the apps. You know, I hate them, but it's a thing. But there's no way around putting yourself out there.
Yeah, I met a woman last night as Alyssa and I were touring through an apartment building in St. Paul, and she was new to town. And she was, you know, you gotta fill time while you're walking through an apartment building, right? And she told us that she met her husband they were both like interns in Chicago at different companies, but she met him on an app. And she was sort of embarrassed to say it. And I said, I don't think this is anything to be embarrassed about. This is how people meet today. It's super common.
Yeah, super common. I refuse, never.
Have you ever been on the app?
I have, which is why I can say with great confidence that I would never do that to myself again.
That's why you're done.
So, but then I recognize that they're enough of a thing that I can't say you shouldn't.
So if you are not going to do the apps, because I think a lot of people are like that, how are people meeting? Are we back in person? Are we approaching people at bars? Are we?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are going out more. Like, they're meeting at concerts, running groups, if that's your thing.
That sounds terrible. Just running in general, I'm opposed.
There's, like if you speak another language, there's meetup groups for that. Like, you're meeting, there's an activity that can, like, distract you from your own awkwardness. There's already a common shared interest. Like, you can find a meetup group around an activity. You can whatever. But, yeah, you have to leave your house. That's the key.
Yeah. Dan is shaking his head.
You hate that. I'm sorry. I hate it for both of us.
No.
But it's
you're
true.
You're 1,000% right. It's just not the first choice I would make personally.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You don't want to leave the house?
Not particularly.
I think leaving the house is best, second best is the apps.
Should there be an app for the introverted, where it's like you don't have? What would you do instead of swiping? Like, just have, like,
I think that's called TikTok.
You think about it. You think about
Twitter. Or whatever.
Is that where the introverts go? I don't know what the right move is here. It seems to me like this is a business opportunity for somebody to figure out.
I don't think most introverts need another introvert. So I don't know. I don't know that would be ideal. Just two people sitting there saying nothing to each other quietly, anxiously.
Does this sound ideal to you?
Before she said anxiously, I was going to say that sounds pretty brilliant to me.
Is this what the introverts do? You just you exist in the same room together, and then just every once in a while you make out?
Yeah. Maybe we should do like an introvert speed dating thing. Like, I don't know.
That would be very interesting. Just sit there quietly together.
No one has to talk. We'll give everyone notepads.
Be just the quietest, weirdest speed dating ever.
30 people all on their phones, you know, just kind of.
Another high school sweetheart texting in. Married my high school sweetheart, still married for 42 years. Another said, I married my high school sweetheart. He passed unexpectedly when we turned 40. Wow.
Oh, sad.
That's sad. But they met in seventh grade when he threw crayons at me in art class. And she says, he threw crayons at me. Of course I threw them back.
Okay, good. I was going to be concerned otherwise. I'm glad she established dominance quickly.
I think, like, if you're a seventh grade boy who is throwing something at a girl and that girl throws something back, you sort of have to marry that person, right? Like, that is perfection. Adrie, this was really fun. You can ask questions of Adrie Lee whenever you want. Substack's a great way to do it. There's a link there to submit your questions via email, but it's Ask Adrie, A-D-R-I, anything. And just look at that on Substack, and you can get to all of her social media stuff through my Twitter. Adrie, always good to see you, and we'll see you at the State Fair next week.
Yeah, sounds exciting. Looking forward to
think
it.
Think of the State Fair relationship advice we can give people.
It's going to be great.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope we get lots of just, like, walk-by advice requests. Hopefully fueled by too much beer.
For sure. For sure. Darusha Eats is coming up in just a couple of minutes. We will share some news that I broke today, sort of heartbreaking stuff, on the real cause as to why Palmer's Bar in Minneapolis is closing down. Plus, I want to talk about this. Restaurants by water. Restaurants by water. What is your favorite restaurant by water? It's 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in a minute on CCI.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
And Darusha Eats is brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board. I want to start with one of the high-profile Twin Cities restaurants that announced it was closing just last week. Palmer's Bar is an institution in Minnesota. It's been around for more than, it's been around for more than 100 years, 118 years or so. And they announced about a week ago that they were going to close. And the reason was just, the reason wasn't exactly stated by the owners. Media, myself included, had looked to other stories where the owners of Palmer's had noted that, as people are going out for live music, they're not drinking as much as they used to, which is fine, other than the fact that that's how the economics of these bars work. They book a band. People show up to see the band and you buy drinks and that's how they make money. So with people drinking less and maybe going out less on the weekdays, Palmer's Bar said, we just can't make it work anymore. Well, last night on Facebook, the owners said, dear community, Palmer's family, friends and patrons deserve a better, more complete explanation for why Palmer's is going out of business. And the quote, when we bought Palmer's, it was with a trusted partner that we have worked with for over 18 years. In 2022, we discovered that trust and partnership was broken, leaving Palmer's in dire financial and operational straits. So when I read that last night, I thought, what's going on? What's that mean? And I started digging through court records and I found a divorce proceeding. And I'm not going to get into all the names and all the stuff. If you want to learn more, you can read my story at minnesotamonthly.com. But in a divorce proceeding of that former partner, there is a record that indicates a withdrawal of more than $379,000 from the business accounts. And nobody knows what happened to that money. Running a business is tough. And I think a lot of us projected our own reasons as to why this bar closed. And the owners of Palmer's went on Facebook saying there are, you know, they tried to dig out from this hole and there are other real issues. They say the current economic environment, people's changing drinking habits, and the challenges of losing so many other bars and businesses in our neighborhood. They say this restaurant or this bar has been losing $10,000 to $30,000 a month. So that's that. Sad for sure, but also goes to why I always hesitate to draw a big picture conclusion from any single closure. Is you sort of never know what's going on, right? You never know what the deal is or what the lease is or what outgoing bills are out there or what business partner challenges are. There's just a lot going on. Next item into Russia Eats is a story that my friend Eric Escala sent to me from Axios Twin Cities, which took a look at how much Minneapolis park restaurants make. And it got me thinking about restaurants by water. There's something about a lakeside restaurant, a riverside restaurant that just feels special. And so my question to you in this Jerusha Eats talker at 651-461-9226, what is your favorite lakeside or riverside restaurant? The biggest grossing, most money coming in, Owamnee, which I think people forget about that as being riverside, but it is right on the Mississippi River in a Minneapolis park. And in 2014, Owamnee brought in $5.6 million. Not profit, but that's their revenue. Sea Salt. Sea Salt would be one of mine in Minnehaha Park right by the falls. $4.7 million. How about that? And then you got Bread and Pickle with $1.7 million. Bread and Pickle is on Lake Harriet. That's a cool one. And below that is Pimento, which is on Bede-Makaska. And Pimento brought in $1 million. Let's go to Mike in St. Louis Park. Mike, waterfront, lakefront, what's your favorite? What's your spot?
Well, I think you've probably been there a few times. My favorite is the Pickwick in Duluth.
Oh, so good. Man. So good. Duluth yeah. is a little underrated, I think, and the Pickwick, sometimes people forget about the Pickwick because it's been around. I mean, something has been in that spot since the early 1900s, but that place yep. is good stuff. It got a James Beard nod as like a kind of like a local classic in 2007. That's right on Canal yep. Park, right on the lake. What's your order? What do you get there?
Oh, man, I tell you, I've never had a better porterhouse ever.
Mm, I love it. That's a good call. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Birches on the lake, says one texter. Birches is on Long Lake. They had a St. Paul location for a little bit. But Long Lake is sort of, I think sometimes people forget about Long Lake because Lake Minnetonka is sort of the big shiny object right there. But Birches is beautiful. And you're about as close to the water. A lot of our lakefront spots are like not exactly on the water.
I was going to ask, are we, as Minnesotans, contractually obligated to mention Lord Fletcher's?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, our license was going to be taken away if we didn't mention that. Lord Fletcher's is an unmatched vibe. Like yeah. that, the wharf, that outdoor mm-hmm. patio is such a party. And the lodge itself, the restaurant, I think it's underrated. They have excellent food in there. But people don't think about going there in the fall or the winter. It's very summer. I think they told me once that their outdoor wharf expands to like 550 seats wow. out there.
Wow.
You think about that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like three Spoon and Stables just on the just outside. Now, we've had our friend Josh Goolsby from the Lonesome Pine on Bay Lake up in Deerwood on our show. He was a Jerusha Eats guest. Lonesome Pine is one of my It's not new, but it's newish to me, and that's one of my lakeside favorites. It feels like you're on vacation. Texter asking what I think Maynard's and Excelsior grosses. Oof. Maynard's. Now, I have no idea, but I bet in the summer alone, it's got to be $8 to $10 million. It's crazy. Other lakefront, oh, the VFW on White Bear Lake. I have been to that VFW. It is the freaking nicest VFW you will ever see in your life. It is amazing. Charlie's on Pryor, yes, in Pryor Lake. The dock in Stillwater, very good. Any Zorbas, yes, you also need the Zorbas on the lake. 450, back in just a minute here on Drive Time. Dan, do you ever have a time in life where you see your car twin?
Yeah, actually, the vehicle that I'm driving now, I see the twins of that all the time.
In the parking ramp where I park downtown, there is, my car is relatively unusual. It is a Kia Stinger. And there's a guy, I assume it's a guy. I don't know why.
Why do you assume that it's a guy? Adrian would be very upset with you right now.
It's kind of a guy car. Cherry red sports car Kia. It screams midlife crisis.
Okay.
Is what, and if you're watching right now on YouTube, you can see me parked right next to my car twin. And guaranteed, when I'm on the same floor as this car, even if it's, you know, not right next to each other like we are today, I am going to go to the wrong car and try to open the door. And I don't know if there's a dumber, more helpless feeling than when you go to open and then you realize,
oops,
and you look around and you're like, I hope no one else saw this because someone's going to think I'm trying to steal this car. I feel a kinship, though. Like,
sure.
Like when I see a Stinger on the road, like, I want to be like, hey, you get it. We're in the club. We're in the Stinger club. Local news coming up from Laura. The lead, too. More on the McCartney announcement. The Science Museum layoffs coming your way.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.